Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, and earned a BS in History and Political Science from the University of Michigan, Dearborn. From 1977 to 1995, she held various leadership roles with the Illich Companies. Since 2008, she's been a pastor of Mount Zion Church, which is a non-denominational church with a heart for our community and a vision to reach the nations. Her name? Lisa Illich Murray. And we're honored to have her as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to a pastor of Mount Zion Church, Lisa Illich Murray. Lisa, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here.
Can we start by you leading us in an opening prayer, please?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here together with all the listeners and all the people here in the studio. And we ask now as we go forth that you just be with us, that your anointing be with us, and that we be able to bless all those who are listening and are with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Lisa, let's start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please.
Okay. I grew up, I'm one of seven children, so growing up in our house was a blast. We got to make our own baseball team. We had so many kids, and we just had a riot. Every day was a fun day for us. My mom always jokes, she says, because when I had kids, we went to Gymboree. She said, Gymboree? She said, we had our own Gymboree. Your kids all played together. So growing up in our home was a lot of fun.
Your dad actually played second base in the Detroit Tigers minor league system from 52 to 55. How good was he?
They say he was very good. And he was very fast. He played second base and shortstop, and he absolutely loved baseball. Still, it was always just his passion.
60-plus years ago, on May 8th, 1959, in Garden City, a food joint opened entitled Little Caesar's Pizza Treat.
It's a very famous story, how we got the name, was that they were trying to figure out a name for the pizza place. And so my mom said to my dad, she said, you know, she said, you remind me of a Caesar, not a big Caesar, but a little Caesar. And he said, wow, that would be a great name. And he liked Pizza Treat, so it became Little Caesar's Pizza Treat.
Lisa, growing up, how often did your family have Little Caesar's pizza for dinner?
I get asked that question a lot, especially while I was growing up in school. They would say, do you eat pizza every day? But we had pizza a lot, and we still love it. We ate pizza a lot.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Dad, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Mom?
I think the biggest thing that I learned from my dad was to work hard, be humble, and to never think that you're better than anybody else because of what you have or who you are, but to treat people nicely and to be a nice person. I also think he taught to give back. It was very, very important to him to give back to others.
And boy, he sure lived both of those. What's the biggest thing you've learned from Mom?
From Mom, it's definitely hard work and to persevere, to work hard. And again, I think they have very similar values, my mom and dad. My mom was raised in an entrepreneurial family, so she actually is very entrepreneurial in a sense. She grew up working around restaurants and businesses that her grandparents, her grandfather and her father did. So for her, it was always, and also getting along with each other. Again, I think being kind. One of the things I always appreciated, in my mother's line, there are priests in the line. And we grew up really having a reverence for the priests of the church. I grew up Eastern Orthodox, and we were taught very young to have that reverence. And I always very much appreciated that. And I think I appreciate how organized my mom was to be able to handle all those kids. It's pretty remarkable. But my mother is a remarkable role model. At that time, women didn't really work as much. And for her to be able to raise seven children and start a business with her husband and grow it the way she's been able to grow it, she's an amazing example for us.
And Lisa, you're an amazing example of the fourth commandment, honor mom and dad. The way you treat mom is spectacular. How's mom doing?
She's doing really well. Thank you for asking. She is feeling good, and I think she misses my dad a lot, of course. But she is going strong, feeling good, still giving back, still very involved in family activities, and she's doing great.
In 1967, your mom and dad opened their first store in Detroit. And soon thereafter, we had the riots. Mom and dad stayed and opened many more stores in Detroit. Why did they do that?
My parents have always appreciated how they were raised, and in their deepest heart of hearts have always wanted to be able to give back to our city. They love Detroit and the surrounding area, and they've just always wanted to see it flourish and do their part to give back any way they could.
All right. At age 10, they hired you. You started answering the phones at Little Caesars at age 10. I think that's illegal nowadays, but talk about those days.
That, again, was a blast. Those days were a lot of fun because, again, as a 10-year-old, being able to be involved, all we ever wanted to do, all of us kids, is to help out in the business and to work in the business. And my mom and dad included us at family dinner. They made it a priority to always just talk about the business. And so we were excited. So to have the opportunity to work there, answering the phones is how I started, was a great experience for me. And I loved working in the stores.
We're talking to Lisa Marielich. And in 1982... her mom and dad bought the Red Wings. When we come back, we're going to talk about that chapter of the family's life. And I'm Jack Russell, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Russell, and we're with Lisa Illich-Murray. In 1982, Lisa, your mom and dad bought the Red Wings, who were the doormat of the NHL. The Wings went on to win the Stanley Cup in 97, 98, 2002, 2008. Tell us about that run.
Well, I was 22 years old when that took place, and I remember my mom and dad called a family meeting, and they said, "We want you guys all to get together. We have something to tell you." And he said, "Your mom and I, we just bought the Detroit Red Wings." And we all went, "Woo!" And we thought we won the Stanley Cup right there. And it was very exciting. And then that first year, my mom says, "All right, you guys, we're all going down to the box office, and it's time to sell tickets." So we all were on the phone trying to sell season tickets. And that was a very humbling experience because we had everything from people yelling at us to hanging up on us to all kind of experiences. But we were very, very excited, and we started to be able to sell tickets, and that was really fun for us. And going through the Stanley Cup years was amazing. My parents and family were so happy and proud to bring the Stanley Cup to the city. And so for us, it was a lot about the people of Detroit and being able to bring the Stanley Cup to the city where we could all be proud and we could all enjoy it. And I think that was the biggest thing for all of us, is to be able to share it. And to see how excited everybody got. They're all putting flags on their cars, and just it was really unbelievable how good that team,
the Stanley
Cup, teams were.
It's unique in all of sports. How do you explain the aura, the magic of that Stanley Cup?
Well, I can speak for myself that when I first looked at it and thought about it, and I'd seen so many pictures, but when I saw it in person, it was really cool. And to be able to share it with people that we loved was very, very special. Being able to take it to church, I got to take the Stanley Cup to church, and that was really neat.
You didn't drink wine out of it, did you?
Yeah. No, I remember Pastor Lauren put it into the sermon, talking about the silver cup. But that was really fun for us, and being able to share it with friends, and also being able to share it with the youth hockey teams and hospitals and people who wouldn't have an opportunity to ever see the Stanley Cup was really a blessing.
All right. Soon thereafter, God put the Ilitch family together with this young kid called Steve Yzerman. Tell us about Steve Yzerman.
Steve Yzerman was, of course, our very first draft pick, and he has always been very special to our family and still is, because we feel like we all grew up with Steve Yzerman. He was 18. I think I would have been I was 22, so we were both, around young adults age, and the rest of my brothers and sisters as well. We just feel like we just grew up with him, and he was just part of our family.
What one great story do you have about Steve Yzerman?
Well, I can remember a time, him and I joke about this, but I can remember a time where I was working at the company, and I was handling the community relations area. So I was in charge of helping our youth hockey program. And every year we have a league of about 10,000 or so, and kids are in our hockey league. And so we had a meeting. Every year we'd have an opening meeting, and we invite the coaches, and they would get their materials. And so it was expected that there'd be a speaker at that meeting, and oftentimes it was some sort of celebrity or whatever. And I was brand new on my job, and I didn't really know anybody. And the only person that I knew was Steve Yzerman. And so I asked him, I said, "Stevie," I said, "I don't really know anyone. I need someone to speak on this for these coaches. Will you come help me out?" And he's like, "Well, I've never done any speaking like this either. I don't know about that." And so we always joke. We would always say, we were kind of like the blind leading the blind, two young people, new at our jobs. But it worked out really very well. He did an excellent job, and it all worked out well.
Your mom and dad arguably started the rebirth of Detroit in 1988 by moving the corporation from Farmington Hills downtown to the Fox. And then you build Comerica Park. Why did they do that, Lisa?
Again, I think it was a unique opportunity that the Fox became available, and their drive to be able to see the city, do their part to help the city to come back, was very, very exciting to them. And my dad had done some research, and he had found out that if you can build an entertainment district, that oftentimes that will spur the rest of the city's growth. And if you look in Detroit, that's exactly how it worked. So it was just, again, they felt privileged for the opportunity to be able to do that.
2008-09, that was the economic tsunami. The big three were really hurting. And GM had the truck in center field out at Comerica Park, and they came to Mom and Dad and said, we can't pay the money we've been paying. We just don't have it. And a couple other organizations were willing to buy that spot. Your mom and dad said no. What did they do, and why did they do that?
Well, they wanted to show their support for the auto industry, so they allowed all three of the companies to be displayed out there in the outfield. And again, I think it was just being able to support the tough times that we were going through. It was something that they were able to do, and they were happy to do it.
All right. Switching gears. You surrendered your life to Christ in 1988 in Colorado. Why and how so?
Well, I was visiting my brother in Colorado, and he invited me to a church. And so I went to church with, I thought, wow, he's going to a church in Colorado. That's cool. So he invited me to church, and it was a church. I remember they were holding the service in a gymnasium of a school. And I went to that service, and it was very unusual, different kind of service for me. The music was different, and the people were clapping and doing all these things. And I just remember at the end of the sermon, I was having some tough times in my life at the time. And I remember at the end of the sermon, the pastor saying, if you need a change in your life, you need to come forward and ask God to help you. And at that point, I just started to cry, and I went forward to that altar. And from that point on, my life changed forever, because I knew that God was with me, and I felt that He was cared about me. And I, from that point on, I just wanted to learn everything I could about church and about God.
You were ordained a minister in 2001. When you told your husband, Glenn, and your three sons, honey, this is what I'm going to do. Why did you do it?
Well, what happened was when I was working, and when I was pregnant with our first son, I was sitting in a church service, and I felt like God had spoken to me about raising a godly seed. There's a scripture in Malachi that tells us we should raise a godly seed, and the pastor was talking about that, and I felt that that word was directly for me. Oftentimes when God speaks, He'll speak through a sermon. He can speak to us, you know, through our own personal prayer time. And at this time I was sitting there, and I just felt that was for me. So I felt that I was to quit my job and to stay home and raise my children. And from when I told my husband that, he was really shocked. He said, what? He said, quit your job? Are you sure that was God? I don't know about that. And from that point on, we made our, we said, well, we are going to have to go down to, you know, one salary, and we budgeted for that, and we planned for that. And do you know how faithful God is, that the day I was my last day at work was the day he got his first account. It was a huge account, and we never lost a penny of income. In fact, he made more money than I probably, you know, would have been able to anyway. So God really provided for that. So from that point, I started to learn about church, and I started to take classes, and I started to become very involved. So at the point where I became ordained, it was really recognizing what I was already doing. And often, again, in times when promotions come in the Lord, it's not so much a surprise as it is to just recognize the service that you're already doing for the Lord.
We're talking to Lisa Illich-Murray, who believes that being a minister is a calling And I'm Jack Grisullo, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Grisullo, with Lisa Illich-Murray. And in 2008, she became a pastor of Mount Zion Church. Lisa, tell us about Mount Zion Church.
Okay, Mount Zion Church is a church founded 43 years ago by Pastor Lauren Covarrubias. And the church was founded in the basement of his mother's home. They had 9 children in their family, and so his mom started a little study in her home, and from that grew Mount Zion. And so now we are a church located in Clarkson of about 2,500 families or so.
What's the biggest thing your flock of 2,500 have taught you as pastor these past dozen years?
One of the things that I think has been very interesting to me in my walk with the Lord is how God takes us and creates us and uses our natural abilities and our life to shape us and form us into exactly who he wants us to be and what our purpose is in life and what our calling is in life. So I can look back at my life and I can see how I've always had a heart, as an example, to help people and to serve people. When I was 10 years old, I used to ride my bike a mile every single day to see my grandmother in the nursing home. And I was always motivated. When I had my first job, I sat on a bunch of boards just because I remember Easter Seals being one. I wanted to help people. I didn't have anybody with those types of disabilities, but I wanted to help. And so I also see how I can look back on my life, and I've loved to teach. I wanted to be a teacher. And now as a pastor and as a leader in the church, I'm able to teach. I teach a Sunday morning class called New Beginnings every 6 weeks, and I've had the opportunity to teach. I also, being raised with a big family, teaches a lot about sharing. It teaches a lot about caring for other people. It teaches a lot about supporting each other. So I can look back and really see that the church and the church family is structured much like a natural family. I always say to people, when you have brothers and sisters, that's a great thing in the natural family because you can support each other. And that's how a church family is.
If you want to learn more, www.mountmtzion.org. You also have a church plant in El Salvador. Talk about that outreach.
Well, that came about because we had somebody, one of the pastor's wives in our church was from El Salvador and felt like she had a call, or they had a call to go back and help. And so Pastor Lauren, who is our head bishop of the church and the founder, he took a trip there, and he felt that the Lord wanted him to start a church and start to minister in El Salvador. And so we've done that for many, many years. I think it's been maybe 15 years now. And that's been beautiful to watch because we've been able to grow up almost, a whole generation of people and be able to minister to them. And the kids that we started with are now able to reach out and help other people in El Salvador. So that's been a blessing.
Mount Zion Church is non-denominational, and it's very Bible-based. What's the basic message of the Bible, Lisa?
The basic message of the Bible. There's a lot of messages in the Bible, but one of the leading messages, I think, of the Bible a lot of times people want to just focus on getting to heaven, and that's the main thing. But it's really not. One of the main messages is that our God reigns, to preaching the good news. And when you look at the scriptures and you see what the good news is that our God reigns and rules over the affairs of everything. So I think when we look at that, and we can also say another huge thing that Jesus encourages us to do is to go and preach the gospel and to be able to make disciples. So God's intention is that we be not just believers of Christ, but we be followers, and there's a difference. And then I think the other thing is that Jesus's example is to be able to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And the Bible says that all the commandments are summed up in these two scriptures. So those are very important principles. And God wants us, he says we were created in his image and likeness, and he wants us to be like him. He wants us to be able to develop our character, to be able to be like him. And when you study the Bible, you learn the character of God. It's impossible to know God or to know Jesus without knowing the Bible, because the Bible is God. So when you read it, you understand the character of God, and you understand that he wants us to develop a character in us, to be mature Christians, to be able to lead others to Christ, to help people, and to be able to help them in whatever situations they're in.
Speaking of being like him, you believe that Jesus was a real person, just like us. Talk about Jesus as this Jewish carpenter, this human being.
So when you say, I believe, I want to encourage people to realize that sometimes our beliefs mix us up. I don't really have to think about in my head what I believe, because what we follow is the Bible. So if it's in the Bible, I believe it. So the Bible says that that God became flesh and dwelt among us. So that means Jesus came on the earth to show us what a man could be like, and to be an example for us. And the thing that is interesting about Jesus's life is sometimes people have this perception that it was just all easy for him, but it was not. He had a lot of challenges in his life, just like we have challenges in our own lives. And so as a carpenter, and he would have been considered, somebody who had stepbrothers and sisters, and he had a life that was not always an easy life. He got yelled at by his parents, when he was 12, they lost him and they started yelling at him. And so there was a lot of, and of course, towards the end of his life, he was ridiculed, and he had trouble in his life. But at the same time, he taught us through his struggles how to overcome that. And one of the huge messages in the Bible that God wants us to know is that we can be overcomers. We do not have to live with our weaknesses forever, that we can be overcomers. And God wants us to be overcomers in this life of our weaknesses. And that's a very, very important message and demonstration that Jesus did for us while he was here on the earth.
Speaking of the Bible, many people read the book every day. 15 minutes, read the book every day. Why should I? And if I decided to, how do I start reading the book?
That's a great question. One of the things that I always tell people is there's 31 days in a month, and there's 31 Proverbs. So just start by reading a proverb a day, and let that encourage you. And the other thing to do is, the Bible says that God says that he gives us things to help us understand the Bible, and he gives us church, he gives us preachers and church to understand, help us understand the Bible. He gives us his Holy Spirit to understand the Bible. And the other thing about the Bible and really being able to make it applicable to your life is to have an open heart. some people were raised in a particular religion or have a very closed mindset. So I think opening your heart to the Word of God is very, very important. And then, of course, you could always come to my class, which is a foundational class, and I want to invite everybody to that. And it's at 9 a.m. on Sundays, and you could come and learn a whole lot about the Bible that way. We'll teach you how to read and understand the Bible.
Glenn, she was selling season tickets when she was 15 years old, and she's still selling. It's different selling now, more important selling, but it's still in there. We're talking to Lisa Illich-Murray, and I'm Jack Russell, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol. I'm Jack Russula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Lisa Illich-Murray, who since 2008 has been a pastor of Mount Zion Church. If you want to learn more, www.mountmtzion.org. A couple of Tuesday mornings ago, I came with our mutual friend John Helmker, and you preached. You do that every Tuesday morning. And you talked about one of your favorite passages, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 12. Why so?
I love this chapter because my teacher, Mama Jean Covarrubias, put this scripture inside of our spirit, and it always stuck with me. And it talks about not being anxious. Many of us are anxious, and we worry about so many different things, but this scripture says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything give thanksgiving and put your request towards God. And when we're able to do that, he'll give us a peace. And that's always been a comforting and a scripture that I hold on to not worry about everything, that God's got it.
We hear all about our Heavenly Father God, Jesus, but much less about the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Talk about the Holy Spirit.
Well, the Holy Spirit is often misunderstood, I think, because the Holy Spirit exists on the outside. It's what draws us initially to the Lord and gets us interested in wanting to learn more about God. But there's another part of the Holy Spirit called the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And that happens when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. And that freaks a lot of people out, but that's really where the power comes for us in our relationship with God. And so having these three experiences in God is very, very important for our full relationship with God and for us to be able to really tune our ear to hear from God. Some people think it's weird that you could hear from God, but why wouldn't you? If you're talking to God, why wouldn't he talk back? So it really helps us tune our ear if we have that experience.
If you want to learn more, www.mountzion.org. We're talking to Lisa Illich-Murray. Lisa, it's amazing how often God uses the least likely to do his greatest work. Why?
Well, I think that God uses everyone to do his work. But I think the point is that unlike the world that says you have to have certain you have to have certain characteristics, or you have to be of a certain family, or you have to be certain success, God is no respecter of person. The Bible says there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, but we are all one in Christ Jesus. And so he says that that person which is least in the world can be greatest in my kingdom. He doesn't look at the world the way we do. He is more interested in our heart and what's in our heart and our heart motivation than he is what we own or where we work or how we look.
Lisa, I pray. The voices I hear, how do I know if their message is from God or not?
That's an excellent question, and one that we often get asked a lot. And it's a skill to be able to tune your ear towards God. The more, then God can speak to you in different ways. So I think it's being able to understand who God is. Just like if I get to know you, Jack, I'm going to understand you and know you better the more I get to know you. And it's the same with God. The more you get to know God, the more you'll be able to hear his voice. And basically, if it comes to pass, it's God. If it doesn't, probably wasn't God.
What do you say to a person who says, Lisa, things are going great for me right now. You know, my job is great. My stock portfolio, my teams are winning. Everything's going great. When I need God, I'll reach out to him, and he'll be there for me.
I would say, okay, well, where might you find that in the Bible? And I always say to people, whatever thoughts they have or beliefs they have, if you can't find it in the Bible, it's not God.
As our time winds down together this evening, would you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to spend this time together talking. And Father, I just pray for each and every person listening. Father, I pray that you be able to comfort them and reach out to them, even right now, Lord, encouraging them to have a relationship with you. And Lord, I know that you are a faithful God, and you say if we ask anything in your name, you're faithful to do it for us. So I just pray right now that you give comfort and peace to all who are listening. In Jesus' name, amen.
Mom and Dad would say, Lisa, you've always been a sales lady since the time you were born. Keep being a great salesperson for our Heavenly Father.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.